Blog Talk Radio.
Call me Little Bo Beef, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talking cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business, I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the lullaby rhyming. Never can't touch this heat, pantomiming. He is a liar, so said the lion, Judah. Shelter in my protector, running to him, be faster than a puma. Holy is a wave, repping the ancient of days. Christ is a big cool home.
Shalom.
Turn me loose.
We can make it loose, right?
Yeah, come.
All right, so we gonna come in with on that note, Saba. This time that's gonna be the theme tonight. We'll get loose, man. We're gonna let the spirit roll, let the scriptures flow. All right. Shalom, shalom, Israel. We'd like to welcome everybody out to another edition of Bible Talk. I'm your host, Barabad, and with me is your host, Mashaba.
Shalom, shalom.
I don't know where the bar is right now. He didn't call yet. I know it's a storm.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah, it's hailing over here, too, Sean.
Yeah, up in San Antonio, man. So if you're... Ooh, I'm sorry. Okay, I was looking at something else, man. They said they're supposed to it was storming tonight, some hailing out there. So if y'all on the road in the San Antonio area, we're gonna tell everybody to be careful. You know what I'm saying? Get on safe. You know, we get part of Saturday. So this should be the time where if you with a scripture about no serve our work, stop working. You definitely one of them days to get on. Okay, we got Shar calling in on us.
Yeah.
All right, we got another one, man. So I just called in on us, man. So we got another reader.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom, sir. How about Shem Yahshua Baruch Shah?
Yeah, how about Shem Yahshua Shah Baruch Shah?
Yeah, man, we done got a strong salute, man. Every time, last week, I know we've been in this, I'm going to say order class, but we've been in this, I mean, I've been calling it the mentor class, right?
No doubt, kind.
Definitely been in these scriptures to where we're building on the fact. I think we started out as using Galatians. Galatians chapter 4.
I don't have my notes. I don't remember exactly where we started at.
I'm going to start there because I know the one thing, Shaba, I was hitting you on today, we wrapped about a little bit today, was where we read the scriptures last week about the talents, right?
Okay.
And we were reading the way a person got rewarded by the Father was because for the talents that they had, they allowed someone to now add more talents to them, right? And sometimes, you know, we look at men in the truth, we believe that we can grow or please the Father and not realizing that work is a part of what we do, you know what I'm saying, to please the Father. That is also a process that we go through when it's about trying to please, when it is pleasing Him. You know what I'm saying? You add talents. That means somebody had to take a part of you, not a part of you, but take your ability, use your abilities, and then add other abilities to you. So the reason I'm going there, because as an elder or as a teacher, as a brother that's developing men, we can't be afraid to bless a man with salvation by taking that brother's ability, using him in this work, and allowing as he's being used, we're also adding something to him. And the reason I went there, because I had to look at our elders. And I brought this to your attention. I talked about when we were doing the schools in Albuquerque. And this is what I do remember in Albuquerque. When you were a young brother, and you're a young officer, going through and being developed. You was a young officer. We were troopers and members. You know what I'm saying? Maybe taking a soldier's test. But we watched as Ariel and them were going in, setting up to do the schools. they had you carrying bags in, carrying signs in, all of the carrying things, getting this set up, and then all of a sudden they threw us on a camera. Are you coming out? Okay, brother, get on that camera over there. Or hand that literature to this person over here. You know what I'm saying? Or brother, you come up and read. Help this brother read. But I thought about all those things because the point I was looking at was more talents were added to you because you subject yourself to being around these men and allowing them to use whatever it was you had to offer. At that time, for us, Rashaba, the only thing I think we really had to offer was our servitude. You know what I'm saying? Like our time and attention. You know, we weren't teachers. We weren't rich, number one. We weren't teachers. So the little things that we could do, we gave that. You know what I'm saying? We gave those things. And then at that, but what we got back. Hold on a second. The one thing we got back was we got the ability to teach, the ability to counsel, the ability to lead, the ability to cultivate, the ability to street speak, the ability to sell oil in a mall. You know what I'm saying? Like, for the things that we allowed ourselves to be subject to, the reward in them were given was so much greater than what we were having to sacrifice and give up. And that was what I wanted to build off of, right? So, if you with me, I want you to go to... let's start it in Philippians chapter 2, all right?
Philippians chapter 2?
Yes, sir. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to build off of we're going to start at verse 13, and you're going to read, start down to, you're going to read down to verse,
I'm just going to ask, could you please start at 12, if it's not too much?
No. Okay. Yeah, 12. I like that. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And I want you to okay. Yeah, let's talk there. 12 down. 12 to 18.
12 to 18?
Right. Yeah, read that.
Hold on.
There's another one that says, do all things without murmuring and speed. Oh, that's what that is. There was another one that I thought. Maybe blameless, right? That's it. We're here. Yes, that's 12. This is the one I was looking for.
I'm sorry. I was trying to write my pen.
Today? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12.
Okay. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence.
So no, this was Paul speaking, right? Paul is telling them, as you have always obeyed, he says, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. The point we're looking at is, The topic of this is to be obedient. They were obedient. This is Paul writing a letter to the brothers that was in Philippians.
If I could add this to the point of what I was seeing this with the class, and I know you're going to continue on, but like you were saying, and if we're talking about mentorship, and somebody being mentored, and kind of going off of one of the scriptures from last week was about how a person is supposed to be under governors and tutors until
right.
the appointed time. That there, and we was going over scriptures about the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That you've got somebody who's actually molding, like you brought up, you saw what I mean with Ariella or whatever, that in my time spent with Ariella, not just in the classroom, I just went around Ariella just in the classroom, but a lot of the close, intimate time, a lot of the times where, no, we weren't in the classroom, it might have been from going to a workout, getting something to eat, we shared bunk beds. We literally shared bunk beds together. So to listen to how he dealt with his wives, how he dealt with his children, getting insight that somebody who just went to class, you ain't gonna get that type of knowledge, and getting that type of molding. That again, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye've always obeyed, not as in my presence only." That there's a time. You're supposed to be under somebody, and you're obeying them. That you're actually sitting you're sitting at their feet. You're sitting at their knees. They're actually walking you through what you're going to be going through, and you're obeying what they're saying. You're not. It's not this thing like the YouTube generation, where I'm getting all my teaching off of YouTube, where I can still decide what I want to follow and not want to follow. I can still decide what I want to obey and not obey. That in doing things decently and in order, which was the first passage that you was going over, that we're going to do things in order, then has a person volunteered themselves to be molded by a teacher? Have they volunteered themselves to let somebody actually mold their minds, mold their
yeah.
thinking and,
right.
and what they're going through, and not just this thing of, it says in the last days that men should depart from the faith, having itching ears, that I'm going to find somebody who's speaking what I want to hear, but I'm not going to let nobody mold me. I'm not going to let anybody, I'm not going to let the righteous smite me and consider the kindness. That if somebody says something against what I'm thinking, we're in these days now, we can say, well, I ain't going to listen to them no more. We have a personality clash. This person just don't like me, so I'm not going to really, pay attention to what he's saying to me because he's got something against me, as opposed to this is actually the molding process of the Most High.
Right.
So now we are supposed to learn how to obey not only in the presence of a teacher, of an elder, of a mentor, but now much more in the absence of that elder, that teacher, that mentor, that you still carry on the training that was given to you.
Right.
And we find too many times these days, people feel like they can pick and choose what training or what thing I'm going to hold on to. With this elder, now, the only reason I'm doing it because this elder or this person is here, and I want to hear their mouth.
Go on.
And as soon as they dip, I'm my own man. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to find my own way. I have a relationship with the Most High, so it's going to be about me and the Most High. And the trend that the Most High had put me under, with this particular elder, teacher, mentor, whatever we're using, I'm going to throw that completely out the window, and I'm going to come up with I'm going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to come back and find my own way and claim, see, the Spirit's working with me in your absence. That's not what this scripture is saying, where people try and kind of justify it. So I just wanted, that was the one part I wanted to bring in, as we were talking about the mentors, the elders, the governors, the tutors, letting the righteous smite me, it should be a kindness. And recapping some of the scriptures that you went over before, that we are supposed to obey not only in the presence of a teacher, of an elder, of a mentor, but much more when they're gone. I hold on to the things they taught. I get the same mindset that they have. That's the problem we bring in, if it's helping.
No, yeah, it does. That's bad that you said that. Could you read 13? It says, "For it is the Most High." I'm reading it real quick, sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For it is the Most High which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Because, like you said earlier,
it will be a man that will say, you know, I don't need to follow because the Spirit is working with me. Or I may not need to, I don't need to be under a man because the Spirit of the Most High is working with me. It is the Spirit of the Most High working with you. But how do you know that the Most High is, the Spirit of the Most High is working with you? Verse 14 says what?
Wait, can I see this one about? Can I see this?
No.
So when it says in verse 12, work on your own salvation with fear and trembling. How can you work on your own salvation with fear and trembling if you're not obeying as in the presence? Not only in the presence of this teacher and elder or mentor, but now when they're gone.
That
you're not working that thing that they're trying to mold and guide you in. You're not working on your salvation with fear and trembling, so that it is the Most High working in you to do His good pleasure. What did the Most High have this mentor, this teacher, this elder? What was He guiding you in? That in His absence, you continue in what He was guiding you in for your salvation.
That's why I was going to tell you to read 14. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. I'm sorry, but most of the time I'm murmuring and disputing comes because I didn't like what the person had me doing or the direction that this person was taking me and guiding me. I don't like that. So I murmur and dispute. We don't murmur and dispute when I'm reading. Because I read the Bible, I kind of gauge and do whatever I feel is adequate for what I read. I read something, so, okay, man, I read this, and the scriptures told me that, like I said, if I read this for supper and I read work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, in my mind, that's, I'm supposed to do it. I'm supposed to do this on my own. That would be my thinking. My thinking wouldn't be that it's there for my brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. That means the person that Paul said that they were obeying was what he was teaching. The things that he now asked them to do, the things that the direction that he had chosen, that told them they had to walk and follow, they obeyed that when he was there, and they obeyed him even the more when he was absent. I'm saying this one because what we forget, we're not seeing that this is a man giving instruction to another, to other men, not the Spirit, not my mind and how the things that I read make me feel. Now I gauge my pattern and I do the things that I do based off of a feeling. We're looking at a man that was passing on instructions to these men, and the expectation was that they were going to continue to keep and be obedient to what they were told. If he was there, or if he wasn't there, they stayed obedient. We're on the same page, right? Now, he said, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of the Most High. So even as us portraying or calling ourselves the sons of the Most High, that was something that was going to be gauged off our obedience. I was blameless. That means, Father, whatever I was asked to do, this is what I did. I was harmless. Whatever I was asked to do.
I got to handle something real quick, so I'll be right back.
Yeah, no problem. You say. It says, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So the example that I'm supposed to be, I was supposed to be learning to become that
brother or sister that learned to follow so that I could be an example. I went uncorrected so I could be an example to my nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. It says, read verse 16 now.
Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Yahawashi.
Read on.
That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Now look at it. He said, holding forth the word of the Most High. So the words of the Father was for us to be. And as we keep going to this class, we're going to keep putting the spotlight on what the words of the Most High was. What were his words? The things that we're reading, the way we deal and operate, the Most High is going to keep building and showing us what his words were, especially when it comes to this point of spiritual growth. When it comes to the point of truly being in order with the Most High. This is holding forth the words of life that I may rejoice in the days of Christ. Go ahead.
Sorry. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Read on.
Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice in service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all.
Now, so hold that one. Gabar, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Now read Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1.
Galatians
chapter 4 and verse 1. Because what we're going to build on is holding forth the words of life. So these are the things that we keep learning when it comes to following instruction, or if it comes to being obedient, like it said, not more in my presence, but in my absence also, I'm going to be obedient. The scriptures are going to help us build that understanding of what we're supposed to be obedient to. Because we'll get to that point to say, well, damn, I have been obedient to the law. I'm keeping the law. I have this man that's over me, but I don't believe that this is who I'm supposed to be following, or these are the instructions that I'm supposed to follow. We're going to go and we're going to keep going through these scriptures to find out who these men followed and who they listened to. Galatians 4 and 1. Read
on. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1 reads, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant.
Read on.
Though he be Lord of all.
Read on.
But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father.
Does it say he walks in the Spirit until the time appointed of the Father?
It says, but is under the tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father.
So that man is under someone who is tutoring. To tutor someone is to walk them by the hand, and I walk you and I guide you and teach you. It's like a mentor, right? A governor is an elder, somebody who, this is the program that's laid down. Now, you're going to be under a program, and you're under tutors and under a program until the time appointed of the Father. Read on.
God, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3 reads, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
The world he was talking about was what? The tutors and governors. We were all in bondage under a program. We were all, even we were children, it was the same thing. Somebody tutored,
somebody, a program governed me until the time was appointed of the Father. The question is, do we ever stop being governed? The Most High gave us law and is kept giving, even for the king. The Most High gave that king advisors, people to be able to now at least remind that king of the laws of the Most High, right?
Todd.
Now, read verse 4.
Todd. But when the fullness of the time was come, the Most High sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
Read on.
To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
So we understand even at that time, Christ came. It was about giving us the understanding of the law, how we're supposed to live in the eyes of the Most High, to now give us that chance to be sons of the Most High. We were, as those children, we were being raised to be now be brought back in the adoption and being sons of the Most High. Read verse 6.
Con. And because ye are sons, the Most High hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your minds or into your hearts. Into your minds or your hearts.
Uh-huh.
Crying, Abba, Father.
So you're looking at this and you're looking and seeing that the Most High said, he sent Christ to now, we became sons of the Most High. Coming into this truth, we worked to become sons of the Most High. And the Most High said he sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our minds. How does it get there? Somebody had to do what?
Had to be a tutor or a governor or a teacher.
And we're trying to now become spiritual or get that, having that connection, that spiritual connection as sons to the Most High without a tutor or a governor. There's no way to make that connection without the tutor or a governor. Read 8 now.
Con, did you want me to skip over 7? Over 7 or?
Oh, no, you can read 7. I'm sorry, read 7.
Con, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of the Most High through Yahawashi.
Read.
How be it then? When ye knew not the Most High, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods.
He said, how is it that when you didn't know the Father, you served the world? We idolized things that were in the world when we didn't know the Father, right? Read on.
But now, after that ye have known the Most High, or rather are known of the Most High.
So if you started out not knowing the Most High, and it says, but now after that ye have known the Most High, how do you know the Most High unless somebody was there pointing out and showing you in the Bible, this is the Father. These are the ways of the Father, right?
Con.
Because we came from the world. So we had no, we didn't even know our nationality, right? We didn't know our history. We didn't know our nationality. We didn't know what color Christ was. We didn't know any of these things. The only thing that we knew was what we were taught from the world. Somebody showed us the Bible, and now we knew the Most High. No, or we knew, rather, we knew of the Most High. Read.
Con, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?
But how do we end up back in the world? when you try to now lean on your own understanding. You was taught the right way. You was taught the standard, the way that we're supposed to serve the Father. But we end up going back to the same environment that we came out of. No order, no discipline, right? I don't have to follow no man. So I started there in the world. I did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, right? So how do you now learn of the Most High and learn what is expected of you from him, but you to return back to the same things that you came from? That's the question that we're looking at. But we were able to grow to those levels of that relationship and being a son of the Father because somebody tutored and governed us there, right? When we left off from those tutors and governors, we ended up going back to the same weak element that we were before. It stopped being spiritual. It started being physical. It started being what I'm just doing day to day. It started being me doing what I want to do rather than what the Father wants me to do.
So you're saying, I had a question. So then when it says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage, is that the frame of mind that we go into because we perceive that if someone is over us, that we're in bondage, but if I can do what I want to do, then that is the strength?
We started out doing what we wanted to do. When I wanted to smoke weed, I smoked weed.
Right.
No one could tell me I couldn't. When I wanted to sleep with this brother's woman, I slept with that brother's woman, and no one could tell me I couldn't. When I wanted to tattoo my body and shave my beard, I did anything that I wanted to do, and no one could tell me different.
Come on.
We didn't have that bondage again. I desire to now be in the bondage of getting shot by the cops, going to prison because I decided to get out here and do what I wanted to do. But damn near getting killed by some man because I'm over here messing around with his woman. I'm tattooing my body apart. I eat pork, do whatever I want to do. That is the bondage that I desire to be in.
So then we get it mixed up is what the scripture is saying, because if I can do what I want to do, I'm looking at that as a strength. I'm strong. But if I'm under somebody and I gotta you know follow under them, where I can't do what I want to do. If I can't do what I want to do, I look at that like it's weak. So basically, we're getting it backwards. When you depend on yourself, that actually is the weak, beggarly elements of yourself.
I want you to read this, Gabar. I want you to read this to help add to that. Right. Jump down to verse 13. I want you to read. Jump down to read 13 and then read 14.
Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13 reads, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first.
Uh-huh.
And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected.
Read on.
But received me as an angel of the Most High, even as Jehoshaphat.
Go ahead.
Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me.
You looked at a body of men, whoever he was writing to, there were a body of men that didn't judge. They saw the righteousness. They saw the spirit and the righteousness of how he carried himself, what he did. That bond and that relationship that was built between him and the Father, that was something that was important enough to those men that they dedicated their life to that. They dedicated their life to someone showing them how to now get to the Father. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said that weak and beggarly element, which you desire again to be in bondage. We desire, as carnal men, we desire to be subject to this wicked world. We desire to suffer and to be under the curses of the Most High, rather than someone to show us how to get out of those conditions. You understand what I'm saying now? These are men that was he reading. The brothers that followed Paul were that's what they that was the whole focus. They received him as an angel of the Most High. He said, you received me even as Yahweh Shai. It says, where is when the blameless ye spake of?
No, he said, where is then the blessedness ye spake of?
Oh, I'm sorry, the blessedness that you spake of. This is why I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your eyes. Plucked out your own eyes, right? And have given them to me.
It says, and I therefore become
your enemy because I tell you the truth. You got to look at what he's asking. He said, look at where they were at one point and look at what started to happen. There was one point, there was a dedication. How do you go back to the weak and beggarly elements? Now where you would have listened to somebody if they would have said, a soft answer turns away wrath. Agree with our adversary quickly, right? Where that would have been brother could have pulled a scripture like that, and you being in the cop car with it, or you'd have been in your car and got pulled over. Those would have been the scriptures that a man showed you that would have ran in your mind. But when you got a man that goes back to the weak and beggarly elements, I'd rather get beat upside the head because I'm not going to do what this brother said to do. I'm not going to follow what he showed me. I'm going to do things the way I want to do them. Now I'm busted in the head or I'd have got shot because I chose to follow that element rather than follow what that tutor and governor has shown me.
My question is it because we see us being able to do what we want or lean on our own understanding as like the strength when we have it backwards? Instead of taking the scripture, a soft answer turns away wrath, instead of doing that, because we thought that was being weak. And so I'm going to go on my own understanding, which I think is strong, and I'm going to buck up to the policeman because I feel strong because I'm doing what I think is strength and not what the governor or the tutor or the brother or the teacher giving. That's my question. My question is it because we see our own understanding as strength and being under someone, being told how to do something, we see that as weakness? Do we see that as weakness? That's what my question
is. Let me read this to you. Hopefully this will help answer the question, right? Go to Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, right? I want you to go to chapter 8. All right.
Hey, real quick, Chris. Hello?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Hey, I'm sorry. We have a power outage right here at the house, and my phone's at like 2%. I have another charger, but the power's out. So if you try to get a hold of me and I don't answer, like if you're calling me to read or anything and I don't answer, I'm just letting you know my phone probably died, and I'm just waiting for the power to come back.
All right, no problem, Sean.
Y'all continue.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and I want to read verse 8. All right?
Con. Ecclesiasticus chapter 8 and verse 8 reads, despise not the discourse of the wise.
What is discourse?
To deviate from the example or the advice or the counsel that the wise is giving you. To deviate or...
So what is discourse?
Discourse is to go off course.
Okay, so it says, despise not the discourse of the wise, but acquire thyself with his proverbs, right?
Acquaint thyself with their proverbs.
Look up discourse. Let's see what other definitions, because a discourse could be, most times it's a correction. So it's going to get me back on course.
Yeah, I'm back online.
Okay, good, Mr. Thomas.
The word discourse means to talk or to converse.
Perfect. So beautiful. So despise not the talking or the conversing of the wise, right?
And then it said, here's a good one. To communicate thoughts or ideas in a formal manner.
So despise not the communication of thoughts or idea of the wise, right?
God.
But inquire means to what?
I'm sorry, which word? Yeah, your voice got a little distant. Maybe that might be me.
No, it's not just me. It's me. I pulled my thing away from that. I was looking at the screen. It says, but to acquaint, thyself with thy proverbs, right?
With their proverbs.
So I'm really supposed to get to know the way they say things or how they put things together. Right?
Con.
Read the bottom of verse 8.
For of them thou shalt learn instruction.
Read that again.
For of them thou shalt learn instruction.
Because a lot of times, Doc, I'm starting to realize that men are expected to learn instruction by what they read rather than somebody sharing their thoughts. It's like going to an elder and saying, well, how did you see that? Or what does this mean? I'm sorry, Mashaba. What does it mean to you? As opposed to, I read it for what that says to me or what that means to me was this. That's not how the Father said we was, or the Bible says that we were supposed to learn. You learn instruction this way. Somebody's explaining something to you, or you acquaint yourselves with their proverbs, the little ways they understand it, the things that they've used. I get acquainted with that. It's just for them. So now learn instruction. Go ahead.
And how to serve great men with ease.
And how to do what?
served great men with ease.
But we are, for some reason, we're getting away from the servitude of great men. Now, why would it be important to serve great men?
It would be a benefit because you're learning from great men, and in the situations that you come across, if you don't despise the talking or the conversation or the advice or the counsel, you can prosper.
Now,
that's wisdom.
The reason I'm asking this question is, how does a man get his talent?
By trading his talent with.
Explain to me the process of trading your talent. Do you remember? Do you know what is the process of trading your talent?
The process of trading.
Can I ask this question?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And not take your mind off of things, Gabar, but you're asking the question. If we were to relate this to martial arts, since you're a martial arts teacher and been heavily involved with martial arts, let's think about a talent like a degree in a martial art. How would a person get more degrees in a martial art?
By studying?
By actually being under another, let's say, black belt of a higher degree, which would be under like a tutor or a governor, and learning, allowing himself to learn, to prosper and get up to a higher level.
So would it be wise for a white belt to have gone to 6 months of classes and be like, okay, I got it.
I'm a black belt now.
I don't need any more training, because I see what for 6 months, I know what we do. We're gonna come in, we're gonna stretch, we'll do some calisthenics, I'm gonna work on my kata, gonna punch the bag, do some kicks, spar a little bit, and I'm out. And as a white belt, after being there for 6 months, I already know what the deal is. I don't need to keep going to this class no more, because what more can they teach me?
Well, that's would be ridiculous, because you have to go through the experiences in order to grow, in order to reach levels, you know, in order.
And is there a way that a person would reach higher levels?
Right, that's all I want to know.
Todd, by submitting themselves under their teacher or their master or their sifu, in following the teaching, but also with the trade of showing your experience as you're being taught also, but knowing that the teacher is the one that's molding your fighting strategies, your fighting level. The tutor, the governor, is the one that can give you the experiences.
Let me ask this question, Gabar. So if the teacher have you breaking boards, is there a reason for that?
Con. There's a purpose. The purpose is to strengthen your strikes, to show you the speed. Because there's a method to even breaking boards.
I am an advocate karate movie watcher.
I am a brother. For 20 years, I've been watching them kung fu theater. I grew up on kung fu theater. I grew up on that shit. I grew up on watching. We would go outside, watch the video, watch the little movies, and go outside and practice the moves. And then think we would. After 20 years of watching these shows, you would think I would be a kung fu master.
No, I mean you have to go through the experiences, and then in order to go through the experiences like lawfully or in order, you'd have to have the experience of the sparring or the experience of the breaking of boards. So you're subject to the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your tutor or your governor or your master in martial arts to learn the experiences. That's you can't grow without the experience, which is actually like the watering, the watering, right? It's the experience.
I know you're trying to explain this, like you're trying to tie it into the Bible and scriptures too, but I like the question you ask, because you became a very skilled brother in martial arts. And I wanted to know what you did. You know, how many times your shins come back bruised up? How many times did you get slapped in the mouth or punched in the mouth or kicked in the mouth?
Countless.
I'm saying it because some people are trying to avoid. It's like I'm trying to avoid
the experience.
Right. Or I'll put in my mind, well, that's unfair. I'm not going to let you punch me in the mouth. But if I don't hit you in the mouth, you'll never know how to block that punch in the mouth, right?
Con.
If I don't ever throw a kick at you, you'll never know how to block or even counter from that. It's one of those hands-on. It's a hands-on.
Right. It's the example and the example, or the trade. When
right.
we go back to
right.
scripture.
Now, you know, you get a guy that he's a student. He's huge. You know, he may be a big guy learning martial arts. But I'm sorry, anybody that's been in there learning martial arts, they're the same ones that learn the martial arts are the same ones that's cleaning mats, right?
Right.
They're the same ones polishing swords. They're the same ones
cleaning up the dojo.
Right, cleaning the dojo. That's how I think, because the bare feet on that dojo, that mat, we have to wear on it, some funk on it. But you'll never, them dojos be clean, don't they?
Con.
But how is the dojo? See, that's not part of the karate training.
Right.
That I signed up for.
Well, yeah, that's the serving part. That's the serving part. That's your trade.
But that's what I said. You can't be. Listen, Jamal, but you're leaving out these parts. You know what I'm saying? You're leaving these parts of the training out. So I'm thinking, shit, I'm like, I'll watch the video. I want to go in here and kick. I'm going to go in here and punch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want you to show me the tiger claw. I want you to show me the three-finger, three-inch punch. I don't want to learn how to work a mop. I don't want to learn how to work a mop. I don't want to learn how to work a broom. I didn't sign up for those parts of the class.
Yeah, you didn't sign up for the parts of keeping the maintenance on the dojo.
Yeah, you didn't, but you left.
To actually have the class and, you know, the tournament.
You left those, or how many bake sales did y'all have, or outside of raffle tickets or something? They're trying to make sure the dojo is there for you to have, to be able to come and study.
Right. I didn't try.
You're leaving stuff out of the story.
Right.
As a trainer, you're like false advertising.
You didn't tell me I was going to be waxing these cars and shit. You know, this is not what
I didn't believe that was in the movie. I believe that was the movie.
Right.
You look at it's crazy. If I had to be acquainted, I'm picking martial arts, and I got to be acquainted with his proverbs, right?
Right.
When he slapped me in the mouth and say, duck, and he come back and say, I told you to duck, you didn't get acquainted with that. When I said move, keep your eyes on the swimmer. Say, you got to be looking. Keep guard up. Those are all proverbs. Those are all things that in every karate sensei or whatever's language, he have a word for keep your guard up. Stay clear-minded. Stay focused.
Con, even in the conditioning, because, you know, going back to martial arts, everyone thinks that you just get right in and you're just doing katas and you know, you're learning weapons and you know, you're getting all of this, but you forget that you have to be conditioned. You know, you didn't tell me I was going to be doing push-ups. You didn't tell me I was going to be running. You didn't tell me I was going to be doing, you know, all of this stuff to get myself prepared for the conditions of the experiences or for the conditions of the battles.
For the stretching. I remember brother said there was stretch machines or going with Mashaba Brothers, going with you to where was it? The park, was it
Bullhead.
I forgot what park that was. Not Bullhead, but it was the one in San Antonio.
It was a medical center park.
And I remember we started out learning them Wing Chun. Now when Ip Man and all them do Wing Chun, that shit looks cool. They hit the dummies, making the sounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that shit look cool. But when Masaba say, get down on your legs and you got to do this little funky little stand where you open up, two steps, open up, dropping them knees, and you got to sit there. That ain't fun. When you sit on the fence and you're stretching, you have to keep scooting your hips in and sit there in that pain and breathe. That ain't fun, but that was all of the condition that would get you to the point that you cannot even get ready to learn.
Yeah, before you even get to the wooden dummy, you have to be conditioned to do the workouts, to do the hand movement, the methods. You have to be conditioned. Your body has to gain.
Now read it quick. I'm gonna read this. You hold that thought. I'm gonna read this to Ecclesiastes 8:9. It says, "Miss not the discord of the elders." And we said discord was what again?
The talk or communication of the thoughts.
So the communication of his thoughts. There's a reason I have you on that thing, scooting your butt up, opening your legs up. There's a reason I have you running. There's a reason I have you doing all these things, because I'm getting you ready so I can teach you something. But these are the things, these are the thoughts and the different things I have you doing. These are the things the scriptures tell you not to miss. Miss not the discord of the elder, for they also learned of their fathers. So when I had you stretching, is because when I was learning, somebody had me doing what?
Stretching.
When I had you down the legs, them horse stands, to that. The regular horse stands and the Wing Chun horse stands is two different horse stands. But when you're down there and your legs are on fire, this is the same thing that he learned from his fathers.
God.
Read now, and it says, and of them thou shalt learn understanding. This is the process that a man learns understanding. And to give answer as need requires. So as you get to this situation, when you get to this point in your life, you get to that point in your life, the things that you have learned, the development of your understanding was going to be there for you when these situations happen in your life. When you get to this point in your life, understanding will be there. When you get to this point in your life, understanding will be there. But the way you get understanding is from his father. That was passed down to him. That was passed down to you.
Come on.
Hold that now. Ecclesiastes, chapter 51. No, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 3 and 22. Read that first.
Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22 reads, servants, obey in all things your masters.
I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off, man. But I don't think I heard what I think you said. Because I do obey my master. I know my master is the Father. That's who I answer to.
Right. Con.
Read it again.
Con. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22 reads, servant, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh.
Oh, okay. You didn't get to that point. I cut you off before you got there. So I didn't know that this was somebody that was going to be developing me according to the flesh. Read.
Con. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of mind or heart, fearing the Most High.
So me being in order with me being obedient to the masters that are over me, according to the flesh, is showing that I fear the Most High. Is that safe to say?
Con. That's what the scripture says.
That's how I show the Father that I fear him, is the fact that when these men that were over me are instructing me, I'm still supposed to be obedient to them according to the flesh. Not with eye service. Now I got a question, Rashad, but I want you to come in on this.
Mm-hmm.
What if they off? What if they got in 50? They got over their problem. At that point, does that let me out? At what point does this not apply to me?
I'm gonna piggyback off of you on this one, and try to keep it in the same spirit. I'm gonna go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and I'm gonna read verse 6.
Okay.
To answer that question, and it says. I'm also going to piggyback off of, I believe you also started in Colossians, one of the first scriptures of the day, where we were talking about, where Paul was talking about how people were willing to give their eyes. They was willing to be servants to him and do him service to where if they had to plug out their own eyes, they would. But they felt like they got to the point where, because now of Paul's infirmities and because of the things that Paul was going through, they was like, man, I don't need to keep following you. Look at what you're going through. Look at that. I don't need to pay attention to what you were trying to teach me.
I need to go ahead and do this on my own because I don't, you ain't got nothing else you can teach me because look at you. So Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6 says, dishonor not a man in his old age, but even some of us wax old.
Right.
So it says a wise man never stops learning. A wise man is always going to consider what his teacher said and acquaint himself with their with their proverbs, acquaint himself with their saying. Similar to after Christ left, what did he promise that the Holy Spirit was going to do? He promised that when the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, is going to come, he's going to teach you all things whatsoever I said unto you.
Time, brother, time.
That's going to give you comfort, that you're going to get to that point in your life or that things will happen, and then you'll remember when I did this or when this came up, remember this is how I handled it. This is how I dealt with it. That's what a wise man will do. A fool, it says, a wise man foresees the evil and prepares himself, but a fool will just keep walking right on and fall thereby. I'm not going to think that. I don't consider that what this old man, I'm going to say it like that, what he's saying is important. That now I got to be on my own, and I got to discover things on my own, and not realizing the whole time the Most High was trying to get me ready. He gave me somebody to get me ready, whether it was through success or failures, they're still there to help me out what I'm going to be going through. But I just threw everything they're saying completely out. Now I find myself in situations and now I get stuck. So I would say to answer the question, if I'm just trying to get there, we never are supposed to throw away the discourse of our elders.
There you go. Con. That's what we reading it. We're reading the bar. Read 22 now. Colossians 3 and 22.
If I can ask this or make this statement, did not David mess up when he slept with Bathsheba?
Come, he did.
He committed adultery.
Yep.
He committed murder, conspiracy, and lies. He was off. We're not going to say that. We can't get around that. But because he was off in that, do we throw away all the Psalms that he wrote?
No, we haven't.
Do we throw away all the Proverbs that he wrote?
Nope, we still pray them. We still pray today.
Solomon came back and was the first one after this. He built the temple. He the first one to have stripper poles put in the temple.
Right.
He dealt heavily in on the left-hand side in negative. Do we come back to say that now because Solomon went off the way he did, now do we throw away Proverbs? Do we throw away wisdom of Solomon? Do we throw away Ecclesiastes?
Ecclesiastes, right.
Because of what he did here.
Con.
Going back with Peter.
Right.
If Christ called Peter Satan.
Satan, right.
Do we now, because Christ called Peter Satan, do we now not read 1 and 2 Peter now?
So that's why we read the book of Baruch.
Knowing that Peter's also taught Mark, that Mark was not an actual disciple.
Wow.
But Mark wrote down, we had the book of Mark because Mark was writing down everything Peter told him.
Wow.
So do we throw out the book of Peter and Mark because that came from Peter? Because Christ called him Satan? I don't think so.
Nah. And listen, the Most High called David, he said David was a man after his own heart. That hit me when you said that. For all the mistakes, there's something we're still following all these things that are in the Bible that are written from these men that
at any point, we could have said, well, this brother is not, let me sound like David said, this brother is not authentic. He's not inspired by the Most High. Because of whatever. Because you got brothers, I was in Atlanta, you had brothers that was teaching that. They were teaching, not Israelite brothers, but you had Jake do something, but we don't follow the teachings of Paul. Because Paul wasn't inspired by Christ. Do we take the same approach when it comes to David and other men that are, like we do with our elders? We'll say, this elder messed up, so everything that he brought out is not inspired by the Most High.
And that's the excuse that we'll use? That's the excuse of a person who, like Peter said, who despises government.
Right.
Who's self-willed, who thinks that gain is godliness, that now that I've reached whatever level or whatever height of whatever prosperity they feel that they've achieved without this elder being right over them, that must be the Most High working with me. And that's why the Most High is not working with this brother or that brother. And that's ridiculous. Actually, and the scripture says, hold fast to that which is good. We're supposed to hold on to the good things of what I mean. So and understanding that we're not just following a man just to follow a man.
Right.
But we are following the wisdom that the Most High speaks through men. The understanding that men, that the Most High speaks through men. We do follow that. But to go ahead and just throw everything away because we despise them now, we hate them, we have a grudge. You did this to me. You did that to me. That would be that's not a good look.
Right.
That's not a good look.
Let me read this real quick to add what you're saying. This is Exodus chapter 20, and I'll read it. Exodus chapter 22, and I'm going to read verse 28. Right. It says, thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people.
John, and that God thing? I hope he's using the East War.
Yeah. I need to go. Let me look at the East War. I am on the East War. Thank you. Let me go to this. Do I do well looking at the comparison?
You can do comparison. What verse are you getting in?
It was Exodus chapter 22 and verse 28.
Go to your, you go to your comparison.
Let me go back. Oh, and just click the, I got you, 28, I got you. Look at the comparison. No, comparison.
If you go like up top where it says B and then C, it says B, C, D, and E.
Uh-huh.
Right in the middle of the page. Go to your C.
Got you.
And then there you should have, I think you should have TSK.
It's giving more scriptures in that, going to that.
Right. Now, TSK, if you look, I'm not sure which one you actually have, but it'll tell you that when it says, thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. The note that says the word gods there also means judges.
Wow.
And then the reference scripture they give is from Exodus 22, verse 28, Gabar, read Exodus 22 and verse 8.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly where you went to.
Con. Let me get you. Exodus chapter 22.
And yeah, we're reading Exodus 22 and verse 28. Now read Exodus chapter 22 and verse 8.
Con. Right. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 8 reads, if the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods.
So the reference here is that the word gods here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 28, yeah, is the same as judges.
Right.
Read verse 9.
Con. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor.
So just in that reference now, going back to Exodus 22, verse 28, thou shalt not revile the gods or the judges, nor curse the ruler of thy people. And so that revile, not revile the judges. And we look at the word revile. It says reproach, to treat with contemptuous language.
Verbal abuse.
To verbally abuse them or talk bad about them.
Talk bad about them. Yeah, that's bad. I had to get other side, man. It's just the primitive root to be. Wow, hold on a second. Let me. I'm trying to get back to my Bible now.
Go back to the small little B at the very, like right in the middle. B C D E. Go back to that B and click B.
I got it right there. I'm back there. That was Ecclesiastes, right? No, that was
Exodus. Exodus,
right?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to 1 Timothy 5 and 1.
1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1.
Because, you know, we can look at that and we can understand now why that respect is due, why that respect is there, because without the respect, you look at it, you can't learn no more. You can't grow in understanding once you cut this off.
God.
Where are we at?
We are in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, where it reads, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get back to it. I'm trying to turn my page, man. Bibles. Hold on.
It's okay, because I'll read it again. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1.
Right.
Where it reads, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father.
Right.
And the younger men as brethren.
I don't know what I did. It is, you saw it, Michelle. So I'm trying to find my, there we go. I got my verses. Okay, here we go. No, I said, was that 1 Timothy, right?
Well, now, if you look from on the very top, you'll see the word Bible, the word commentary, the word dictionary. You'll see tools, download, options, and window, right?
Yeah.
Right below where it says commentary, that's the word commentary. You see that it looks like an open book.
Right, I see it.
If you click that, your table of contents will come up for all the whole Bible.
Right.
You can scroll down to 1 Timothy, and then and that'll take you over to 5 and then 1 or what have you.
Got it. Got you. Okay. I'm right there, man. Cool.
So you need me to read it again?
Yeah, please.
Con, yes, sir. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1 reads, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father.
Read.
And the younger men as brethren.
I only went there because that is
we are now in this truth, and we're stopping and really not understanding that to grow in understanding, this is how the Most High put it together. You know what I'm saying? This is how you did it. We all have elders. You know what I'm saying? And the Most High said, I'm not supposed to rebuke that elder. I was supposed to treat him as a father. We even got fathers on this earth that made their mistakes, and we still call him father. You know what I'm saying? In that man's presence, we, yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? The whole time. How is it now that we're in the truth, and now I got this spirit on me as if I don't have to follow my elder. I don't have to respect that elder. To rebuke means to do what?
To
cast them. You look it up. If you double-click rebuke, if you put the arrow on and double-click it,
criticize. You don't criticize your elder. You don't.
Baba, did you find it yet?
Yeah, I found it.
I'm asking that meaning. If you double click the word rebuke, and you go back up to the capital B C D, and click D, that'll bring it to your dictionary. Well, you should have the Webster dictionary there already.
There we go. Okay, now I'm back. Okay, good. I got you. So if I go to, dictionary, for the dictionary, right?
Well, if you go to the little, like right in the middle of your page at the top,
okay.
You just see where, like, there's a window that's got like two side windows and a long window. Then right next to it, it's got the letter B, the letter C, the letter D, and the letter E.
Right, I see it.
Click that D.
Right.
And then you should have, well, I'm not sure how many dictionaries you might have uploaded or open, but I believe you should have a Webster dictionary on there already.
They were the Strong's.
Yeah, they have the Strong's.
Yeah, I'll fix it. I'm going to have to go back to it, man. We'll keep going. I'm going to go back to it. We'll go back to it. I'll get it hooked on up. You know what I'm saying?
Next time I call you, I can help you out. For rebuke, it means to chide, to reprove, to reprehend for a fault, to check by reproof. To punish, to afflict for correction.
So all the things the Most I said, this is what you're not supposed to do to your elder.
Yeah, to silence. Like, shut up, old man. I'm talking.
Right. Or I'm finna now remove you, so that you don't have a voice anymore. That is
you can tell me none.
Yeah, that's rebuking an elder, right?
Okay.
I got rid of that elder. Rebuke not an elder. This is but and treat him as a father. Jump down to verse 17.
Con.
Seventeen through nineteen.
This is 1 Timothy. Chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 reads, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, and especially they who labor in the word and doctrine.
Go ahead.
For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward.
Read on.
Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses.
It says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but between two or three witnesses.
But before two or three witnesses.
But before two or three witnesses. So I'm looking at these scriptures, and I'm like, there's a respect that's the Most High is looking that is supposed to be given, whatever. That's what we're looking at. But we can, but as we're reading, we can understand why that respect is given. It's not the fact that he's old, or not the fact that he's been here all this time, but the training that he received, he can now pass that training to you. Would y'all agree?
Do you have 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13?
I do now. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 13.
Get that.
I got it.
Don't let the discourse. Shabba, do not let the discourse.
Todd.
First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12 reads, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake."
So what are we supposed to be getting? That's bad. So David was esteemed highly because of his work. Solomon, like you said, esteemed highly for his work. Peter, esteemed highly for his work. So their work spoke for them. If I'm reading it, what it's saying is that man's work is supposed to speak for him.
God.
Read on.
Con, and be at peace among yourselves.
Hebrews 13:17.
Con. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 reads. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 reads, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls."
If you don't submit, they can't watch, is what you're saying then.
It goes back to working out your salvation. If I'm not going to listen to my elders, or I get to the point where my elders can't tell me nothing, that I'm on my own, that and what they taught me, I'm throwing it away because I'm mad at them, I'm pissed at them, I'm angry at them, whatever the case might be, that the things that they were instructing me in was actually for my soul. They were for my salvation. They were giving me the talents that the Most High is going to be looking for when Christ gets back. They're actually the ones who had the talents that I needed.
Right.
They had the things that the Most High finds valuable that he's looking for me to be able to show him. I went to these brothers. I went to these elders, and I got the training from them. I got what they had to give. They exchanged us. So I went to them.
You know what's crazy, too? It's crazy. If you cut off that elder that got that training, then you cut off your training.
You cut off your salvation.
No. We on the same page. You literally, this is where the training ended. It's like saying, okay, what was the training before you? I didn't get that. My training stopped with this man. But he done cut off his elders, or he's not following his elders. So I don't know what the training was before him. I don't know what the training was before his elder. Because that process that's supposed to be, the way it's supposed to be passed down, it's not being passed down the way it's supposed to be passed down.
That's why I think Gabard can speak on this a little bit more. That for a lot of martial arts schools that get opened up, that teacher of that school has got to be able to give a pedigree or give a list of who his teachers were.
God.
That so he can go back to the original teachers. To the ones who started and can verify he did get his training. He did
under them.
He's learned it.
Right.
Con.
And
And I keep saying the point under them, because that, when that name is thrown out, brother, who was you talking about? I was taught under this brother. He learned under this brother. You're supposed to be at fault. Even if you were going to go into a martial arts school, wouldn't you check the pedigree?
A wise man would.
Right.
Yeah.
Do I walk in and say, okay, this is the shiniest dojo, so because it's the shiniest one, the best teachers must be here because it's the shiniest one.
No.
Never once did I ask, well, who did you learn from? You'd be like,
forgetting about who taught Mr. Miyagi, Art.
Oh, brother, come on, Art. But you know what got me? Martial arts was, you dressed the part, you got this grandmaster look, the whole nine, but you can work by your students. You can't fight.
We mentioned martial arts, but it's no different than if you go to like a technical training school or to a college. That even then is that place accredited?
Yep.
And have you gone to an accredited institution to verify your learning, to verify your teaching?
Right.
Is it accredited?
Yep.
If we're in the streets and it's a gang. How many people got beat down because they're wearing the gang colors, and the question gets asked, what set you claiming? And then you have to give a list of who you have to give a list of who brought you in. Who taught you the rules, who taught you the codes or whatever. That you have to give a verifiable list to verify who you are and what you're doing, or else you can say it's somebody who's false.
But I can, man, they call it false flagging. Is that false flagging?
God. That's what I remember. I never got my ass because I never wanted to false flag, but I remember the movie.
You got a cap doing that. You like, brother, who taught you? It's like asking, how many schools you built? You are calling yourself the teacher or the elder, but how many schools have you built? Where were when they were being built, where did you play your part at?
I agree with you. I can look at a lot of people's teaching. For me to be there and actually see how Ariella put classes together, how he had me and Kawaka studying to actually put a class together, how to put match precepts, how to match concepts, how to match thoughts, how the thinking goes. I sat at his feet. I got that training. And that's why I can look at a lot of people today, and the way they put scripts together, it don't make no sense. And I'll ask that question. Almost like T.K. Kirkland. Who raised you?
Right.
Well, who taught you how to put that together? Because that's not the training I know I got from being at the feet of Ariella. That's not the training I got from being at the feet of – I'm in Ariella's classes. I'm in Kazakh's classes. I'm in Shara's class. I'm in Lahab's classes. And I see these guys coming up, just putting scriptures together. And I'm like, who the hell taught you to put that together? Who trained you that way? Scripture, that don't make no sense. But that's how you put it together? That's how you put it together. But that is not... That what you got was not passed down to you. That's something you came up with on your own. Just like somebody who might have watched every Bruce Lee movie. All right, cool. You can break the board, but can you break somebody's chest? Can you generate that power from any angle to block a blow, to defend the blow, or is it, you just know how to put the gi on, how to tie the gi, and you know how to punch a board?
Right, right. Or to say it like you know how to, you know, it's like, you know, you be, you know how, you know, you know how to be the boss at your parents' house. You know what I'm saying? I didn't build it, but I've grown. Like your kids are doing it. I'm grown. Ain't they still living under your roof, but they grown. You know what I'm saying? They haven't never
right.
stepped out to build it. They've never stepped out to build their own. They've never done that. But now I am the leader because somebody appointed.
Well, because dad yells, I'm going to yell. I don't know why dad yells. I don't know. I don't know what trend. I'm sorry. I'll go ahead.
I'm hitting you like this, too. You know, you made a statement. You said, man, you sat in these classes. So you're trying to figure out where, when his brother was putting these scriptures together, where did you get that? Where you train? Where you learn that training? Where'd you get that? And you know where I got it? Most of the time, it was from you. I had a Mashaba class that I tried to alter. I put a new title and altered a Mashaba class.
Now I'm gonna read
the scripture. I'm not giving the praise to Mashaba. Mashaba, the scripture, they're not wrong when they do that. Because the Most High said, this is Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of the Most High. My ruler was based on the person who did what? Who taught me?
Yeah, Con.
I didn't know the words of the Most High until this person spoke the words of the Most High to me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of the Most High, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
Or their discourse.
That is my elder. He's the one that he's the one that taught me what I know today. He's the ruler. I'm supposed to keep considering what he said. I'm not making up my own stuff. Please ask us in the apocalypse chapter 51 real fast, right? Please ask us 51, right? I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to give you the praise, but the scripture.
Hey, I don't want it.
but the scripture, you know, you should have never been. You should have never taught a brother. Because after these brothers that you taught, the Most I'm looking was looking. Okay, that's the person that introduced the Bible to you. How your notebook was based off of his notebook. How do you not give him honor if that was what he did? That would be honest. Let me be honest, Doc. That would be everything I know about faith I got from Color Cop. How the hell would I not give him honor? That's who I got it from. From the time I was in my 20s. From the time I was in my 20s, Mashaba, my son is, I had Cobb, I was 30. From the time I was in my late 20s all the way up, I lived with a brother. That brother opened that book up and showed me everything that I know about faith and everything else. Half my classes and breakdowns, I got him giving me the understanding. The half I got with you, I got old notes that Ariella them from classes that we sat in his classes. All them wisdom classes, that's where it came from.
Time.
I know where he got it from, though.
Because y'all was right there in our Yazdim classes, Lahav's classes, Messiah's classes, Kazakh's classes, right there. You have, my point is, what we're doing is we're trying to go set up something without even learning from half these elders so that I can even remember what they told me, what they taught me. I'm too busy contending or trying to do my own thing that I'm not seeing that the Most High said this is the way that I passed it down. This is the way wisdom, knowledge, and understanding gets passed down.
Con.
That's what I said. 51 and verse 20, 23?
You called the chapter, but I didn't hear verse.
Yeah, sorry, verse 23. I'm sorry, start at verse 22, please.
Gabar?
Hello?
Yeah.
Are you there? Come on, y'all.
Ecclesiastes
in the Apocrypha, chapter 21, stop down it, and verse 22.
Chapter 21 or chapter 51?
I'm sorry, chapter 51 and verse 22 down
to 28. Con. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 51, starting at verse 22, reads, "The Most High hath given me a tongue for my reward, and I will praise him therewith. Draw near unto me, ye unlearned."
So you know how I had to start at 22, Gabarkawa? You know how I had to start at 22? Because it shows that the Most High gave this to a man. He gave it to Solomon. We're showing every aspect of this truth is passed down from one man to the next man. The Most High gave it to this man to give it to this man. That's how Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." So even as I am a follower of Christ, was Paul sitting in those conversations with Christ and the apostles? No. That means it came from Christ through the apostles to Ananias to Paul. Every man's going to get it the same way. You're going to get it. It's got to be passed down to you. But you never not respect the source that the Most High used to bring it to you. You're supposed to give that double honor. 23 says, "Draw near unto me, ye what?
Ye unlearned, and dwell in the house of learning.
Read.
Wherefore are ye slow? And what say ye to these things, seeing your souls are very thirsty?"
He said, "Wherefore?" This is, it's like almost saying, this is why you're slow. This is why you're slow. "And what say ye to these things, seeing that your spirit is very thirsty?" We lack. Why are brothers lacking? Why are camps lacking? Why as a nation, why are we lacking? Because we stopped going to class. We stopped dwelling in the house of learning. We jumped out here as if we got it all, and I still needed a lot. There's a lot of development that I still needed. Read on.
Con. "I opened my mouth and said, buy her for yourselves without money."
He said, "Buy her for yourselves with what?"
Without money.
That means there was supposed, for you to get this knowledge, for you to be taught, there needed to be an investment. You had to now give some personal investment to continue to get this. To get this truth, there needed to be an investment.
Con.
Read on.
Con, "Put your neck under the yoke and let your soul receive instruction. She is hard at hand to find.
Well, so, I'm loving, that's how you know men ain't just getting his wisdom. He said, you have to put your neck under the yoke. You can't learn it from the computer. You can't just learn it from the computer. You can't just learn it from the phone. He said, you have to put your neck under the yoke and let your spirit receive instruction. I mean, that I got to now be dedicated, my dedication, my sacrifice, the work I do. This is the arena that I am going to now receive instruction. It's the yoke that he's talking about. I got to put myself, I had to submit myself to someone. I had to come under, not just the authority, but the program that this man set up. It was running the beach or something for y'all, that's what was set up. If it was Bullhead Park for us, that's what was set up. If it was class, then it's 7 days a week, that was set up. That was what was set up. It was being on the beach, if it was being in a security zone, whatever was going on. That is the yoke that was set up. That was the environment and the arena that I was, my spirit was going to receive instruction. But if there is no yoke for you to now put your neck in, you ain't getting no, you're not receiving any instruction. She is hard at hand to find. Read.
Con, Ecclesiasticus chapter 51 and verse 27 reads, behold with your eyes how that I have but little labor and have gotten unto me much rest.
I have to be there to see it. What we're trying to do is we're trying to now serve the Most High and not be seen, not have to see how that elder did it. How with a little labor did you get so much rest? How is it working for you? You got to be there to see it with your own eyes. You can't do it from the internet, bro. You can't do it from the phone. You got to be there to see what's going on. Watch him. Read on.
Con, get learning with a great sum of money and get much gold by her. Let your soul rejoice in his mercy and be not ashamed of his praise.
I only get it like this way. I'm loving what we're reading. Because this is, even if it was about the money, it was about the development. Johanna, you got him? Yeah, you got him. You know what I'm saying? If this ain't about the money. This ain't about the praise. This is about understanding the way you get all this. You have to be present with that elder, with those brothers that have that experience, so they can pass it on. Because some things have to be experienced to understand it. Shit, I'm going to say some things. 90% of these things in this truth doc have to be experienced to truly understand it. What you read has to be experienced so you understand. But when you're trying to read something without experiencing, without an environment for your spirit to grow, to be fed, you're never going to understand. You're never going to get wisdom.
So there's no shortcut. In other words.
Nope, there ain't none. Go to 1 Timothy.
There's one path. And it says it's narrow. There's only one man can go at a time. If only one man can go at a time, then you got to follow somebody. You're not walking by him side by side like, hey, what we doing?
Right.
He's like, brother, that's when that elder gets to look at him and say, you wasn't with me. You got the breakdown. Yes, you got my breakdown, but where were you
Where were you when I was handing out the understanding? Yes, I can give it to you so you can read it. But we read how the Most High said, man, wisdom is hard to get. She is hard to get. You only grow in wisdom when you're there under the yoke. When you were there, present, when he was saying or showing you, when you were being taught, that's when you grow in wisdom. Go to Ecclesiastes real quick. Chapter 6 now, the Apocrypha. Ecclesiastes chapter 6.
And which verse?
Let me get it. It's 6 and, hold on a second. Chapter 6 and verse, start at 30.
Come on. Ecclesiastes.
I'm sorry. 32.
Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 6, starting at verse 32, reads, my son, if thou wilt, thou shalt be taught.
That's why if you're ready to submit, you can be taught. If you're ready, if you want it, if you really want wisdom, then you can be taught. That you'll be taught. Read.
And if thou wilt, apply thy mind. Thou shalt be prudent.
You shall be wise. Read.
If thou love to hear, thou shalt receive understanding.
No, it says if you love to read.
If thou love to hear, thou shalt receive understanding.
It says if thou love to meditate on what you read.
If thou love to hear, thou shalt receive understanding.
Go ahead.
And if thou bow thine ear, thou shalt be wise.
34. Okay.
Con, stand in the multitude. Stand in the multitude of the elders.
Stand in the multitude of who?
Of the elders.
Uh-huh.
And cleave unto him that is wise.
Three.
Be willing to hear every godly discourse.
There we go with that discourse again, Mashallah. But those godly discourse come from that elder. They come from that elder in that and we read, like I said, we read in Hebrews, that elder was that person that spoke, who have spoken unto you the word of the Most High. That's the one that's been my elder. It ain't the one who was appointed. It was the one who gave me the word. It says, be willing to hear every godly discourse, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. Read on.
And if thou seest a man of understanding, get thee betimes unto him, and let thy foot wear the steps of his door.
Go ahead.
Let thy mind be upon the ordinances of the Most High.
Hold on. This is a what?
It says to let thy mind be upon the ordinances of the Most High.
So what are we reading?
The ordinances of the Most High.
This is an ordinance would be a system or an order. Or a way something's done. We're supposed to give our minds to the way the Most High does things. We're supposed to meditate continually on his commandments, the system and the commandments, the way the Father does things and the commandments. That's what we give our minds to. Read.
Con, he shall establish thine mind or heart and give thee wisdom at thine own desire.
Most I'll show you, man, I'll bless you, but this is the system that is done. This is the way things are done. This is the order. This is the way everyone got the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the development. This is how they got there. They had to submit to somebody else's system, program, so that they could be developed. The problem is, if I'm going to submit, you know what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to look at the pedigree.
God.
I'm looking at who taught you, man. Because when you start talking shit like, you know, chicken is unclean, and you're like, wait a minute, man. Who taught you? And it'd be some students from Shabu. We do not want to take credit for it. Nah, he didn't finish.
Con, he didn't get that from me.
He didn't get that from me, bro. Had he been there to let me finish the point, he would have got better understanding. But somewhere this dude stopped coming and started making his own shit up.
Con.
We're looking at how we grow in wisdom and understanding. And if you think you're going to get it another way, you ain't going to get nowhere. That's why it don't be growth. And then I can be a camp leader and I stop growing. The camp ain't growing because I have cut off the source. I cut off the person who spoke to me in the words of the Most High. This person showed me the Bible. Now, I'm not going to that person that showed me the Bible. I'm making up as I go now. This is why the Most High said my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Con.
He said, because we reject knowledge. Because I'd rather now make it up as I go than let someone continue to teach and guide me. So with that, man, I'm not going to hope it all night. I got to be up in the morning, so I'm going to be up at 6.
Connor.
But, you know, we're going to continue. One more. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 19. I'm sorry. Psalms 119 and verse 99. The Barkawa.
Con, Psalms 119 and verse 99. Read.
I'm going to leave you with this. Psalms 119
and verse 99. Read. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation.
Oh, for what is his meditation?
His testimonies.
Whose testimonies?
The student.
Read it one more time.
Con, I have more understanding than all my teachers.
Why?
For thy testimonies are my meditation.
Whose testimonies?
The teachers.
Right.
Con.
David was the king. He wasn't Moses. He wasn't going up and talking to the Most High. How was David learning? He's telling you, I had teachers. He's telling you, I had teachers. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimony, my teachers' testimonies, or my meditation. Go ahead.
I understand more than the ancients.
Please?
because I kept thy precepts.
I kept the ancients' precepts. I kept what I got from the source. Read.
Con, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me.
For who taught me?
The ancients, his teachers.
You're talking about the Most High. David know the Most High. We know when David had the lessons from the Most High. Because the Most High was tearing David's ass up. So we know
And even then, the Most High had, when David was messing up, he had Nathan right there.
So did I. Don't tell him, Nathan. That's my point. He understood what kept him in order was what his teachers and those ancient men passed down to him.
You remember when Saul was in this situation? You remember when Saul did this? And you know a choice he made. You might not want to make that same choice.
Oh, not. Huh.
You're going down the same road.
But David, as the king, never denounced his teachers. He never denied. He didn't get to the top and be like, okay, now I'm the king, so now I ain't got to listen to y'all no more. He understood this is the only reason I'm here, because they got me here. Yes, I was appointed as the king of Israel. The Most High ordained that I was going to be king. But the men around me, they molded me to this point. Where you at?
119 and 105.
No. Read 103. You just finished 102. Read 103.
Fine. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yeah, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Read on.
Through thy precepts I get understanding.
Where do you get understanding?
Through thy precepts I get understanding.
Go ahead.
Therefore I hate every false way.
So I only went this route for Saul because I'm looking at him. He's telling you, this is where I got it from. I got it from the fact that I was taught. You can read the whole chapter. I just stopped there. You can keep reading. And that's from his ups and downs. He understood where it came from. He understood the source. I'm wiser because they taught me. I'm greater than them because they laid it down to me. Yes, a man will get greater than his teacher. This is how you get greater than your teacher. You're supposed to meditate on everything that he told you. If you get to the point like you'd have learned everything that you need to learn, shoot, you know what's so crazy at? But after Solomon became king, who became Solomon's advisors?
It's supposed to be David's advisors.
It was David's advisors. That means I was being groomed the whole time. I was just doing what I want to do. And you go back, when the kingdom was falling, it fell because with Solomon's sons, they was getting advisors of the peers, not they got rid of all of their father and their grandfather's advisors, if I'm not mistaken.
God.
Jump down, read, and I want you to read verse That's it right there. We're going to share right there. We're going to keep going. We're going to go into the next topic of this, or next chapter of it up. You know what I'm saying? But that.
Kind.
We're going, you know what I'm saying? We'll build off of it. I'm glad you was there. The scripture is on point. And I'm glad it. We got a chance to, as we're building the class, go to see, no, we are going the same way. And the crazy thing is a lot of times we battle with is the mindset of people to swear that they on point. They swear they on point. you know, when you get a chance, I wish I read the rest of that Psalms, because as you read all the way down, when you read it, David was getting his butt whooped. He says, "I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Yahweh, according unto thy word." I got taught. All of a sudden, I started varying from it. I was getting hit. We watch people go through the same thing. Your affliction is coming because you keep trying to do things your way and not the way that you were taught to do it. Thy word is a lamp upon my feet and a light unto my path. That's what we're supposed to be looking at. But everything that he learned, somebody opened that book up and showed him. By the time I was a young man, I've been shown the laws of the Most High. When I was with Saul in that court, I was being groomed to be king.
Okay.
That is the process for every great leader in this in this spiritual battle or the spiritual fight that we walk, or the spiritual walk that we walk. This is the way that we are developed. This is the way that we're going to grow. Does not come any other way. So with that, we're going to go ahead, Rashaba, and carry us out. I love that. That's the best part of the show. Huh?
You know,